following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Again to a Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking.
Hi, Mark.
I'm all alone in the studio with, I guess I'm alone with Trevor, the preacher man, in the booth back there, but I have Hassan Godwin on the phone.
Hello. I'm on the phone.
Are you on a Parts Unknown also?
Yes, I am. I am right now in the middle of Parts Unknown. I can't really tell you where I am because it's Parts Unknown, unfortunately. And, but they have cell phone service. That's a good thing.
That's good. So you're not in a horror movie, then?
No. Clearly not. I'm not about to be murdered, that I know of.
Unless
it's a very clever horror movie that I have never seen before.
Where cell phones actually work.
Exactly. And I could actually call for help, but for some fluke of a reason, I just don't, and end up getting murdered anyway.
Like, nah, I don't need to call. I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm all right. Oh, flat tire. What a shame. But I'm still all right, because my cell phone's working.
And Charlie Saladino is running around on assignment, so it's just...
Yeah, I have something to tell you about that. I have an interesting... Well, it's not really interesting, but I have something, a remark about that once you've finished doing station identification and all that other stuff.
All right, so if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see me sitting here with Trevor the Preacher Man on the webcam in high definition. And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. Also, if you have a smartphone, like Hassan has, that way he won't get killed in the horror movies, you can listen to the radio show on your smartphone by using them fancy apps that they call them. And it's a... Apes?
Huh?
They're apps.
No, I didn't... I said, hey, hey.
Oh.
It was a laugh.
Oh, okay.
In agreement with your statement.
Okay. So, yes.
Oh, sorry.
That's quite all right. And you can use the app such as, I believe it's MyTunes or iRadio or TuneIn Radio. Any of those, you can listen to us and hear us on a smartphone. So, you want to have a comment, Hassan?
Well, no. When I ask you, when explaining to you, is we got to check in with the boss. For the ladies and gentlemen who are outside of the radio world that we are in. And I said, I'm not going to be able to come in today. I'm going to have to call in. And Mark tells me that, oh, that means I'm going to be alone in the studio. Like, full disclosure, yeah, that's some of our private conversations here. We apologize. And I ask, what happened to Charlie? And Mark writes, Charlie's car died. But I didn't see car.
Oh.
At first. So I thought he was arbitrarily telling me, oh, Charlie died.
He died.
He's not going to be here. So Charlie died. I tell you, I went into a panic, such an immediate panic. It was actually very startling to me. I was like, well, what? Wait a minute. Wait. First of all, why is this the first time I'm hearing about this?
I was waiting for the sad news to say that. By the way, sad news today.
A long-time companion and long-time show co-host, Charlie Saladino, is dead.
That would ruin the other news, though.
That would probably be bring us pretty far down on the chain right there. It would be the most depressing show we've ever had, I think.
Yes, and the weird thing is that the we have a different news item for the Shameless department with the news today.
Wow. Okay.
See, so this is something that actually involves you, which you're supposed to know about, and you probably have forgotten.
Yeah, probably.
On April 14th and 15th. The East Metal Library in Long Island, New York, will be hosting the EM Con. And it's just a celebration, a small celebration of anime and science fiction and stuff that we deal with. And at the convention, our very own Charlie Saladino and Hassan Goblin will be at the convention. Hopefully, you'll have some, Hassan will have some artwork that he can sign and draw some little sketches and stuff. And Charlie Saladino will be doing book signings there in the library. So how awesome is that?
It's only awesome if people care.
Well, I care.
Yeah, well, you won't be there.
That's
so, see, that's right there what the problem is. A lot of people who care may not be there.
That's the disclosure?
Yes, we might be surrounded by a lot of people who don't care. That's a problem.
That's I think signing books, having book signing in a library makes things a lot easier for Charlie Saladino, you know.
I agree.
So, yeah.
If you're going to sign books, that's pretty much where you want to be.
Yes.
In the library.
And we're actually going to be having the, I guess, the organizer of that. He'll be on the show that week. So on April 11th, he'll be on as a guest to promote
right.
that. So hooray for us. Yay.
Yeah.
And also today happens to be leap year. So this is a very special day for us because this is a day that only exists for once every 4 years.
Right.
And it's so weird that I was thinking about that, and you know how they have those movies where, you know, oh, once every 5,000 years this happens, and people so readily accept that. I'm thinking, eh, well, I guess because we readily accept that a day just appears every 4 years.
Yeah, it's called bad math. It's called bad math at the design stage. And so now we're it's not like we're stuck with it. I mean, it's not a hindrance or a hampering on our time in our lives, but it is just, if you're talking about having to accept it, yeah, it's just one of those things where you just got to deal. You got to eat it. The day just shows up once every 4 years, pretty much inexplicably sometimes.
Just boop, there it is.
So, okay, why is there an extra day in February? Just go with it.
Yeah, and there you have it. Why not?
Yeah.
So technically, today's supposed to be the 1st of March, which is supposed
right.
to kick off Sunburst Month. So we're going to be celebrating Sunburst-themed items this entire month.
Oh, yay.
So hooray, you know. And
who is Sunburst, Mark?
Sunburst happens to be my character. That's having her own book out this month, and it's all excitement. And we actually have Mariano. He's going to be on the show in just a few minutes talking about it. So hooray for us.
Hooray for us. Hooray for you, especially.
Oh.
Most especially.
Yes. So let me just break it down with the last two bits of news before...
Bring on the last two bits of the news.
Yes. Let's see. We go with the happy, wacky news first. Electronic Arts, the game company, has decided to put a handful of the newest release, Mass Effect 3, into a weather balloon. And they're going to... And they already have attached GPS devices to their games and sent them off into the atmosphere. So then the fans... We're told that they can track their game, and if they're able to get it, they can keep it. So it's a free game that comes out a week before it's actually released, so it's coming out next week. And they sent it off in the air, and then bad stuff happened. Seems that the first two copies, which were launched from the San Francisco area, landed in hard-to-reach spots in California. One wound up tucked away in a dense forest.
South Central. Oh, I'm sorry. Not hard to reach. That's just hard to get out of.
Yes.
I apologize.
it wound up in a dense forest protected by overhead brambles and bushes, while the other...
And lions.
And the other one wound its way onto the upper branches of a 150-foot-tall tree.
And grizzly bears.
Well, the bears aren't on top of the tree.
And hungry grizzly bears.
They're at the bottom waiting for anybody stupid enough to come and try to climb up the 150-foot tree to get a game.
Exactly. stupid people.
Executives say, it is unfortunate, but we have to require all participants to halt further investigations due to legal and safety reasons. We are floored at the support, involvement, and the contribution of the ME3 community in the last 48 hours. So they're telling you, don't climb the tree to get the free game. Do not climb the 150-foot...
There could be a lawsuit.
Yes.
We could be sued.
Timmy has climbed up a tree, got mauled by a bear, and now he's going to sue Electronic Arts.
Yeah. mauled by a bear and got chased by lions. He managed to get away from the lions, but he didn't get away from the bears. This is a shame.
So that's a lesson.
It happens every time.
That's a lesson learned. You got to bring with you a friend who's slower than you.
A slow friend.
Yes.
Or bear or lion repellent.
Yes, like Batman had the shark repellent. You got to have psst, and that takes care of that.
Yes. That's probably the best thing to do.
So you have to get the one that's the bear and lion repellent, not just the bear repellent.
Yeah.
Because then you're in trouble. Oh, I left the other one at the store.
Who needs to fumble with two extra cans? You have to have them combined. You're absolutely right.
He saved 50 cents.
You
got
to get the combo back.
He saved 50 cents, and then he couldn't get away from the lions. So that's...
This is
ridiculous. all right, so don't be climbing a 150-foot tree to get a free game.
To get a free game a week ahead of when it's supposed to come out anyway.
Right.
You're going to go up and break your neck, try to get something that's about to come out anyway.
Yes, so don't do that.
It's ridiculous, yes. Do not do that.
And now we're going to move on to the sad part of the news.
Oh, yay.
Jan Bernstein. Who, with her husband Stan Bernstein, wrote and illustrated the Bernstein Bears books, suffered a severe stroke on Thursday and then died last Friday without regaining consciousness. The first Bernstein Bears book would be The Big Honey Hunt, was published in 1962, and over 50 years has passed, and there's been more than 300 titles that they've made of the Bernstein Bears.
Fantastic audio work.
Yeah, and she was 88, so that's that is sad.
That's
I mean, who hasn't read a Bernstein Bear book?
I don't know.
I thought you were going to say that.
I could not tell you who has not read a Bernstein Bear book.
And then
it'd be my favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah, so you know that's kind of sad. She was 88, so that was very sad. And then the second bit of sad news is after suffering a heart attack, singer Davy Jones died in Florida today. Jones, those of you who don't know, was a front man for the music group The Monkees, in which his hits included I'm a Believer, Daydream Believer, which is a lot of believing, and Last Train to Clarksville.
People said they used to monkey around, by the way. One of the things that they said.
Yes, they did. They had a TV show.
He was 66 years old.
He was 66, yeah. That's, oof. That's close.
Well, he was young. He was like a baby in comparison to the way things go these days.
Yeah.
So, and that's too bad.
So, yeah, that's...
That's all over Facebook, by the way. People are like, beside themselves about Davy Jones.
Yeah, that one got me. And, you know,
big reaction.
People grew up on him. And
yeah.
He was, you know, he was one of the first ones that was on the crossover of Scooby-Doo with Davy Jones. Yeah. You remember that?
Yes.
With the frog monster. So yeah, that's our news for today.
Yeah, thanks for the happy news, man.
Well, at least we started with happy news. See, you're going to be at a convention. There's going to be a book signing.
Yeah, I don't think maybe at a convention is consolation for the loss of Davy Jones.
That's true.
And the woman who wrote the Bernstein.
Jan Bernstein.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, I'd like to think it would be. I'd be flattered if someone told me that, but I would probably assume they were lying to me.
Yes. So that's it for the news. And we have a call on the radio? All right. So we have Carl on the line. I appreciate Hassan helping me out with the news. Hey, hi, Carl.
Yep.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Mariano. Sorry.
Hello.
I'm getting all my names mixed up because I have them all here in front of me. So, Mariano is our guest for today, so we're just going to go straight through with no commercial break. Mariana Nicizia, did I get it right this time?
So close.
So, you know, this will be the third time I haven't gotten it right, and I probably won't get it right for many more times to come.
Nicizia.
Why don't you just ask me whenever you need to do that, Mark? And I can help you with it. I'm willing to do that for you.
Really? Is that the plan?
Yes. From now on, you just leave
it. It's the plan now.
And I'll take care of that, and then we at the show will not embarrass ourselves.
Well, I think that's part of my shtick, is that I don't pronounce anybody's last name correctly.
All right, fair enough. That's the way you want to roll, that's fine.
Right, Mr. Goodwin?
Right, absolutely.
So, for those of you who don't know, Mariano is, I guess, I was not even going to go that far. He is a large part of RZG Comics. So why don't you just familiarize the audience with RZG Comics quickly, Mariano?
RZG Comics is actually a company owned by a gentleman named Carl Mirino and a young woman named Rachel Platt, who, as we speak, may be having her first baby. Right now, this moment, it could be happening.
Wow.
That's how close she is.
So I guess having
so before before the show is over, we might have to go back to the news and make that announcement.
That would be awesome, happy news.
Exactly, exactly.
So Rachel, push.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Mark.
Yeah, really. Carl started this company, RZG Comics, which stands for Red Zone Girls, which is a company he started because he's a photographer, and he was doing photography with sports-related cheerleaders and models and so on. So RZG Comics sort of spun off from that, and right now there is a character that is sort of the lead in RZG's superhero line, which is my character, Phaser. There are upcoming projects that RZG is going to launch, which are in the horror segment and in the romance segment. But right now, the main focus is Phaser and the superhero line and tie-ins that we have with Dave Ryan's War of the Independents. So all this other stuff is for the future. For today, we're going to focus on Phaser and Sunburst and all the cool things happening around War of the Independents.
So why is it, Mariano, that you decided the best way to go is to incorporate all other characters with your character as opposed to just going full out with your character on his own?
That is an excellent question, Mark. I'm glad you asked it.
So am I.
Phaser, by the very nature of the character, makes him a perfect team-up character. Phaser shifts uncontrollably through time. Sometimes it's uncontrollably through alternate realities, and within the context of his story, he will constantly be meeting new faces, new heroes, new villains, all kinds of people. So the concept of War of the Independents, which encompasses, I don't know, 200-plus creator-owned characters and their universes, made Phaser a perfect character to incorporate into all of that. And vice versa, because we are incorporating characters from War of the Independents into the Phaser storyline, such as Sunburst.
So, you have read, when you were first on the show, you had mentioned that this was more of a, your character was more based on a novel first, and then it turned into comic book format. Do you find that now that you're able to interact with so many other characters, is it easier for you to expand the universe, or do you find it more difficult because now you have to focus your shift to whatever property you're dealing with?
The novel is the core story that Phaser revolves around, and the supporting characters that make up the family of Phaser. All of them are pulled and based on that novel. But like anything else, you can always add in chapters. And you can always add in extra paragraphs and extra pages. So that's how I'm envisioning what's going on with War of the Independents and with team-ups with other characters that were never part of the original novel. I mean, basically, it's all good. It can all fit in and work perfectly well, again, because Phaser is constantly time-traveling and constantly going through space and time.
So how did you get involved with a certain character creator who made Sunburst?
You know, how did that happen? I have no idea how that happened. There was a trading card set that I licensed from Dave Ryan for War of the Independents. As a matter of fact, that trading card set is actually in stores right now. So after this broadcast, drop everything and run to your local comic shop and get it.
Unless you're having a baby.
Unless you're having a baby, exactly, in which case then the trading card set and everything else will sort of take a back seat. So in the context of working with Dave Ryan and pulling 50 characters out of the 200 or so, I think it's 200, probably more characters in War.
By now, yeah.
So, but anyway, the point was we were sort of picking some of the best characters to put into the trading card set, and Sunburst was one of those characters, and the character sort of caught my eye, and I think I called you at some point and said hello, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that's just about how it came down. So,
is that your recollection of events, sir?
That sounds just about right. I do remember some guy calling me out of the blue. Hey, you want to be in this trading card series? I'm like, sure. I think that's how it kind of went down. It's like, oh, you're crazy? Of course I'll be involved.
Well, I am crazy, but that's regardless.
We didn't negotiate there, Mark. You really made him sweat for that one. What? Are you kidding? Absolutely.
I don't care
what I have to do.
I don't even think he finished the sentence before. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm on board. Oh, man. So, actually, I guess we can talk about the creative process, because this book, I mean, this book is obviously being done in the Marvel fashion. For those of you who don't know, the Marvel fashion is that we kind of come up with an idea, the penciler comes and he draws everything, and then we come back and we fill in the rest, correct?
That is correct. Actually, speaking of pencilers, which in this case is penciler and inker, because he's a multi-talented guy, is Sam Carlin on the line with us?
Did we get Sam yet, Trevor? All right, Sam is on there, so you want to put Sam on?
I think we should. I think this is a perfect segue for Mr. Carlin.
Which is also my cue.
All right, so Sam, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Doing well. So I was just asking Mariano about how the Marvel process works. So why don't you mention, well, first of all, this is Sam Carlin, as Mariano said, penciler and inker of the Sunburst Phaser crossover on the phone, and you were a guest a couple of weeks ago, actually, right, about a month or so ago?
Yeah, I think it was in mid-December,
right,
or
so,
January.
All right, so yeah, about a month and change ago. So how does that work for you, coming with the idea, working the Marvel way?
Well, the Marvel way is it definitely gives the penciler a little bit of creative freedom to more or less take a basic idea and produce it graphically and put it on the page and hopefully make it look really pleasing to the reader.
Do you find it easier or more difficult working in this fashion because you have to pull so much from your imagination as opposed to what's on the page?
I'm going to say it might be a little of both. It's a little bit easier in that I'm not tied to a particular panel count or particular layout for the page, but it's also harder because, like you said, that you know a lot of the creative process is put on your shoulders. But it's very enjoyable either way.
So, do you find this to be more of the old school type of comic book making as opposed to newer approach?
Yes, it's the old school way. It's the way Stan Lee used to come up with a little paragraph or two, hand it over to Jack Kirby, and let him do his thing.
So, Mariano, how is Sam doing his thing?
I think, well, you've seen some of the artwork, so
yes,
it's not just what I think. I'm sure you've got a couple comments, too, but Sam is just spectacular. I love his stuff.
Thank you.
Very, very dynamic artist, and he's always finding ways to surprise me with what he shows me on the page.
I was blown away because obviously this is really the first time I see my character in type of motion. Because usually I just get like pinups or stuff, which I have other artists do for me. But this was actually quite an interesting thing, seeing you know her in motion and moving, and to do the dialogue based on what I see was kind of an interesting experience for myself because I've only done a full page script beforehand. So this was quite an exciting experience for me. So, Sam, how did you feel working on my character? Did you find anything beyond what you would normally come across? Like, oh, this is just another character. Like, wow, I see something I can do with her. How did that happen?
I think they did a little something different with her hair than the concept art that I saw. Hope you didn't mind that too much. I kind of sexied her up a little bit, I think, in some of the scenes.
So making more sexy is never a bad thing.
I agree.
So, actually, on the subject of sexiness, and we had a guest last week. She was a model actress, and she was saying how the female character has not changed much, or probably has gone off the deep end of how they're presented. Do you find that you're going along that balance of not making her overly sexy as a piece of material, but also making her a well-rounded character to be in your artwork?
Well, yeah, she more or less has the upper hand throughout this entire comic book. Poor Phaser is getting thrown through trees, off cliffs. She's pretty much manhandling him.
So, Mariana, how did you...
Sorry, Mariana.
How did you feel about that, Mariana, having my character? Because, you know, we have to have the classic fight. So how did you feel about the fight and him getting the lower hand in this situation?
Phaser comes from a military complex and a military background. And Sunburst is more of a teenage kid.
Right.
So I thought it would be fun to have this guy that's obviously got a little bit more life experience getting his ass kicked by this young woman. So I personally got a kick out of it. I thought it was kind of humbling. And Sam and the layouts he created and the different dynamic panel layouts that he did really brought home the power that Sunburst can wield with her energy powers.
So when you're designing on the characters, what kind of models are you using, Sam?
I wish I had the luxury of actually having human models. I'm basically just flipping through magazines, looking for something that kind of catches my eye to give me a layout, or I'm just sitting with the pencil and throwing down some lines till I get something that was kind of the feeling I was going for, and then I'll just work that until I get a page.
So how far ahead are you in the book? It's about a 22-page book, if I'm not mistaken.
I have one more page to do.
Hooray!
Looking at what I'm going to have to put like 12 panels into it, but I think I can do it.
Only 12? That's it?
Only 12, unless I could squeak another page out of Mariano somewhere. Then we could get
to this one. You guys are doing this crossover, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Conceptually, how did you conceive the crossover? I know you explained some of it of how it happened. You just got a phone call one day, and this is all. But how did you conceive the crossover? And you're saying also that, Mark, you seem slightly surprised that your character is coming out the upper hand in this particular story. So, am I assuming that you didn't really know what the story was going to be about or what the story was going to entail?
No,
before it was done?
No. Actually, Mariano and I. We actually had a sit-down meeting over the phone, and we went back and forth over the whole arc of the story.
You know,
she winds up in a mysterious world, and then, you know, they have to fight, and then this happens, and that happens, and everybody's happy at the end. You know, obviously, that's the basics. That was the basics. And then we threw in some key points of what we wanted to do.
So how did you decide on the story in the first place? Like, where did it start? Did it start with a slight idea? Or did it start with, with one of you having an overall idea of exactly what you wanted to do before you even made the phone call, and then you had to get on the same page with that, or what?
Mariano, was it your initial idea, or was it my initial idea that we had?
I think it was, the whole process was very organic. First, let's take a step backward for a second, especially for the listeners that may not know, because we were using the term Marvel method. Typically, and DC did this back in the 60s and still, I think, does it to this day, the way that comic book stories were plotted was that a plot would be created which would include a specific panel-by-panel description and dialogue already put in before the artist ever did anything. So a DC plot in the 50s and 60s would basically have all this information in it and then the artist would kind of be constrained by whatever the writer put in. The Marvel method was kind of a shortcut where Stan would create a couple of paragraphs. In our case, it was a full page, and it was a description. Pages 1 through 3 would have this and this going on. Pages 4 and 5 would be this, 6 and 7, and so on and so forth until you got the entire 23-page story. The dialogue comes in later, but the story elements and the beats of the story and everything is in that description for Sam to read through and follow, and then Sam would come in with his interpretation and his nuances of, you know, let's do this or let's do that. So basically, it was an organic process for the story. The phaser sunburst crossover is happening because both characters are meeting in War of the Independence. So to that end, we already knew how the story was going to begin, and we already knew how the story was going to end. It begins in War of the Independence. Phaser and Sunburst shift out of War of the Independence. They end up on a completely alien world. They have their adventure, and at the end of that, they end up back in War of the Independence. So it just became a matter of filling in the blanks in between that of what was going to happen and what we were going to do.
All right.
No, that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
I had actually no idea that that was the process that you guys were utilizing.
So you thought it was that Sunburst was just going to be cleaned
up? Well, it was just a mad scientist type situation where someone's like, I have an idea, and we're just going to do it this way, and don't worry about it, you know? So it's good that there was collaboration. It's good that there was a utilization of this, of the Marvel method, which is, you know, tried and true.
And even
actually, it's even more complex than that, because it's not just Phaser and Sunburst. There's a whole other element involved here. And that is a company called GAN Memorials. And GAN Memorials has all kinds of plush toys. And they happened to come up with this. I saw them at the Toy Fair a couple of years ago. They had this this character called a Gandroid. And they had a couple of different colors in the line. And I thought it was very cool. And at the time, because we knew what our story was going to be, and we had different, you know, various characters on this planet that Phaser and Sunburst are interacting with, we knew that we needed a specific type of character, and the Gandroids fit that perfectly. So we got GAN Memorials involved in this storyline as well, and got the Gandroids into the story. So it's quite the melting pot going on here.
Yeah, and even how we decided on what Phaser's powers were, because as Marion mentioned, his powers change with every world he goes to, so even in War of the Independence, his power is different than in the crossover.
That is correct. Actually, back to Sam, Phaser's powers, not giving away too much, Phaser's powers on this planet that they land on are ice powers, ice-based powers. And I thought that Sam really came up with a brilliant take on a superhuman with ice powers, something that I haven't seen before from anyone, from Iceman or from what's that DC character that has ice powers, that female?
Ice? It's Fire and Ice. It was the girl.
The Wonder Twins.
No, but the female character who has ice powers is Ice, if I'm not mistaken. Hassan, would you correct me if I'm wrong?
I'm sorry?
The female character that has ice powers is called
it
Ice.
It sounds right. I'm not familiar with the DC universe, so there can find
I,
out
I vaguely
you.
Remember the comic book was called Fire and Ice, and the guy was fire and the girl was ice, and that was how they got together. So, Sam, how did that come about that you can make the characters that are, you know, fire-based and ice-based to be unique to your own style, as opposed to trying to imitate somebody else? You're like, I don't want to do anything like this that's come before. How does that work?
Well, In the Marvel-based script, I sort of described his powers. It just left me a lot of room. It just said ice-type powers, Iceman-type powers. And I didn't really see Phaser flying through a tropical world like Iceman on a big street of ice. It's been done, and I just didn't think it fit into this particular storyline. So I gave him a little more. First of all, whenever Phaser goes to a new world, he sort of has to learn his powers first. That was my conception of it. And I gave it like baby steps. He starts out in little baby steps, and then it kind of builds up to the crescendo at the end. So he's getting his feet wet literally as he's going. And it turned out a little more I don't want to say dark, but a little more cavemanish, say, than the script sort of called for. And Mariana seemed to like it.
I loved it.
That's all that matters. So, by the way, the character's name is Ice.
Hooray! That's two for me.
yeah, you.
I pronounced her name right, Ice.
She's Italian, would be
Thomas. Yeah.
So, how is it, has there ever been a time, Mariano, that you and Sam have crossed paths? Like, this is not how I want it to be. This is completely wrong. How could you possibly think that this is how it would look? Has that ever happened? Or was it like, hey, this is actually kind of awesome? Has it always improved on what you imagined?
Every single day, every single page. He's impossible, I'm telling you. Impossible.
Now your credibility's in question a little bit.
No, I mean, first of all, the exercise is to have fun, and the process is creative. So as far as I'm concerned, there is no right or wrong. This isn't black and white. This isn't binary code 0101. It's all shades of gray. So I don't think there's ever been a scenario where, you know, we've really butted heads. There have been collaborations, there have been changes, and if there are changes, they're discussed and agreed upon, and we move on.
Right. Normal editorial advice, you know, correct this, change that pose, that kind of thing. Nothing major. Except the one time that I spent a half a page on a panel that probably should have been an inch by two. I don't think that was on this book, though. I was on something else.
So you mentioned fun. Is it that difficult to run to make a comic that's keeping it fun, whereas you're still having a business to make? Because as we all very well know, you look at Hollywood. You know, they want to make fun movies, but it's a business, and people, it's not as pretty as you would make it seem. So how difficult is it to keep things fun and energetic and still keep it as a business and try to make a profit?
That would probably be more of a question for Carl, and he's not on the phone right now.
Oh, Carl.
from a storytelling point of view, I mean, if Hollywood or the comics industry or any of us had a magic formula in a bottle that we could just simply pour out the perfect plot or pour out the perfect story, then every Hollywood movie would make a mint and be fantastic. You start out with good intentions, you work with talented people, and you collaborate as best you can, and hopefully the end result shows all that. And is fun for the reader and a fun experience. That's the most you can aim for in doing this.
Sounds amicable to see for that type of a goal. Sam, do you find it that is also keeping in the fun of making this book, or do you find that it's a business and you have to, you know, deadlines and all that other stuff?
Well, it's definitely very fun, but you do have to kind of keep in the back of your mind that it is a business, you know, and you're doing this to keep food on the table ultimately. But definitely sitting at the drawing table with a pencil or a pen in hand is where I prefer to be at pretty much any given hour of the day that I'm awake. And it's always been that way, and, you know, now I have an opportunity to do that and, you know, earn a living doing that, so I'm very fortunate in that respect. So, yes, it is very fun. The fun definitely outweighs the business demands of it.
That's actually kind of awesome. So, without giving too much away, Mariano, what can you say happens in the book so that maybe people will want to go out and get it?
This book, besides the fact that Sunburst is in it and it's awesome, we started Phaser Crossover number one, which is the previous issue to this one, with a time travel story to the 1940s, where Phaser is interacting with Golden Age characters and a new Nazi villain called Imperius. That storyline didn't wrap up with that issue. It's continued. But this particular story I wanted to fit in because it was relevant to War of the Independence, and I wanted to get Sunburst out there. So the first couple of pages of the story are still the lead off from where we left off in issue number one with the Golden Age characters. So we have some Golden Age characters in this particular issue. Then Phaser ends up back in War of the Independence, where he meets Sunburst, and we have a cameo from Math McGowan from Penance, another of Dave Ryan's characters. From that point, Phaser and Sunburst launch off into their solo adventure. And we're not doing time travel. This particular story is an alternate reality story, where they end up on an alternate Earth, on an Earth that could have been. And it is, as we've talked about earlier, it's a jungle planet, and there are various inhabitants, and there's a clash, and I don't know if I want to tell anything more.
All right. So your character is involved with many characters. I mean, you have the Teen Kaiju coming out soon, right?
That's in the works, yes.
You have... he's in the World of Independence. He's dealing with my character. He's a Golden Age hero. You have another one that he's dealing with, right, that's still in the works?
The next one up to bat, issue number 3 of Phaser Crossover, is going to be El Gato Negro.
So how do you keep track of what Phaser's going through all this stuff? How do you keep it all, you know, organized?
There's no organization. He's traveling through time. He's everywhere. He's all over the place. I don't have to worry about that.
All right. What about you, Sam? Is it, since you did this book and you have a couple of many characters in it, is it easy to keep track of all the characters involved in the little panels? Or is it you find it difficult at times, like, oh, did I forget about this character supposed to be in the corner somewhere?
Not with the Phaser Sunburst issue. I've had some issues trying to do a who's when Phaser had a guest appearance one time with the Nova girls. I was trying to, you know, Mariano wanted a couple of those girls to look like actual people we know, and just keeping track of who they were was a little difficult, but not in this book, no.
So it sounds all good on my end, and sounds pretty good on your end as well.
Yes.
Let's see, we're almost 3/4 of the way through. I'm guessing you're supposed to have the other guys call in, right, Mariano?
Yes, Nick Lorifis and Phil McNulty.
All right, so Sam, we're going to have a final thoughts for you, and hopefully the other guys will be able to call in real quick-like. So, Sam, you have any final thoughts?
When that comes out, make sure everybody buys it. The Phaser Sunburst crossover.
That's a great final thought. So, yes, I appreciate you, Sam, calling in again. And like I said, the book is coming out next month, March.
Yeah, I'm going to hurry up to get that last page done, too. All 12 panels of it.
So thanks again, Sam. I appreciate you calling in.
Very welcome. Have a good night. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Sam. Bye-bye.
Okay, so while we're in the transition of waiting for the other guys to call, is there any other questions you had, Hassan, if you're still there?
No, I'm good.
Oh, you're good?
I'm not. I am still here. I don't have any further questions.
Oh, all right. So I think I can even go further with the previous question you had asked about how the collaboration went. I know that it was extremely back and forth between Mariano and I on exactly what points to do, what exactly do we want the characters to do, and at least on my end, I felt that I was very happy with how it came out. This would be the first time I've ever collaborated with someone else, and Mariano's been around the business for years, so it was a great experience on my end, just seeing, you know, how easily he made it sound. I don't know if that's the case normally, Mariano, but it was pretty great experience for me.
I mentioned it before, and I sincerely believe it in my heart that it's fun. It's meant to be fun. So as long as you've got some experience under your belt and you can kind of guide folks along, which hopefully I've done, we can all have a fun experience with it.
So how do you decide at this point in time which books come out at which time?
Mark, you're really asking some good questions. There's two Phaser titles right now. They're each coming out on a bi-monthly schedule. So there is Phaser, and there is Phaser Crossover. Phaser Crossover, for all intents and purposes, is a team-up title. Right now, the focus is on team-ups with War of the Independence. At some point down the line, that may change and turn into some other type of team-ups. But for now, the core Phaser title has a five-part origin, which is based on the novel that I wrote. So that's pretty much set and rolling along and on its own track. Phaser Crossover are a series of one-shots with, as we've talked about, various independent creator-owned characters. So as these storylines are being prepared and created and drafted, we're kind of cherry-picking as they become ready to go to press. So there are about a dozen Phaser crossover projects in the works right now. So the ones that we've talked about are the ones that have been solicited through Diamond that are coming out at specific times in stores throughout the year.
So have you thought about getting a male model dressed up as Phaser at the conventions yet?
Yeah, that would be me.
You're going to dress up as Phaser?
That would be me. That's right. That's right. Except I'm developing a face mask for Phaser, like a full face mask, so that no one will really know it's me. They'll just see some dumpy guy in a costume and spandex, and they won't know it's me. But they'll be able to point and say, hey, there goes Phaser.
I don't know how much money I would pay, but I would pay a certain amount of money to see that.
My friend, I don't think there's enough money in the world for that one.
Man. So, when you originally met up with Dave with the Warner and the Independence, did he give you a list of all the characters that were involved, or you were just like, oh, this guy looks interesting, that guy looks interesting? Did you know exactly how many people that you were thinking about getting involved with, or was it just...
You know, I was gonna come up with one of my usual wise-ass answers, but then I remembered that Dave, like, towers over me by, like, 4 feet. He's like Sasquatch. So I'm going to be very respectful. Actually, since Dave owns the War of the Independence title and he was drafting all this and pulling it all together, I didn't want to be presumptuous in picking characters. I left it up to him. I said... pass along the list of the characters that you feel should be highlighted in this trading card set, and he gave me a list, and I contacted the folks, and some folks weren't interested, and most were, and those are the ones that ended up in the card set.
That's so weird how people wouldn't be interested in doing the card set. I would think that exposure is always a good thing.
It is, but there were some creators that... basically lent Dave their characters for a few brief appearances in the stories, but weren't really interested in doing more with the characters.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, again, that was their prerogative, you know, exactly how far they wanted to go with it all.
So we're still waiting on the other guys to call in, so why don't you tell us a little more about the trading card set? I remember when you were here, you were doing Chasers for the set.
I still am. The trading card sets have a basic set of 50 cards. The 50th card is a checklist card. Then there are three chase cards, which Phaser is one of those three chase cards. And then the set also has a hand-drawn sketch card with a gold foil backing, and that is also included in the set. So the entire set is packaged together in a decorative case and comes complete when you purchase it. So it's not like you're running out to buy packs of cards to try and complete the set. It's a collector set, and there's also autographed cards included in the set and a certificate of authenticity.
No bubble gum?
No bubble gum.
What are you going to do?
It gets sticky, some of the cards get stuck together, it just doesn't work.
Have you thought about putting a GPS device in the card set and setting it in a balloon?
That was pretty cute during the news, by the way. I like that.
See, that way, you know, people can run and chase it down in the stratosphere. It's ridiculous.
I would include some kind of bear mace along with the trading card set if we were to do that.
So what else is in the works for RZG Comics and Phaser right now?
Some of the stuff that's been advertised in the comics, we have a graphic novel that is going to be coming out. Not quite sure how big this story is going to be. It might be 60 or 80 pages. But the title is Vampires versus Nazis. And I think the title says it all. It's set in World War II.
I would hope so.
It's a definite departure from the superhero stuff we've been talking about. It's got more of a black and white title. It's got sort of a film noir style to it. And it follows the story of this young lady whose family is victimized by the Nazis in World War II. And I don't want to give too much away, but you get the idea. Vampires versus Nazis.
What was your initial reaction when you saw that? I mean, because my initial reaction was like, that's insane.
The initial reaction is actually something that we put into the promos, is who do you root for?
I'm guessing you would have to root for the vampires.
I think so.
I think just like you can never root for the Nazis. I think that's I think it's like common law. You don't root
exactly.
for the Nazis.
Exactly.
So when you decide to go for the horror route, was that a conscious decision, or you just like, we want to try as many different things as possible, or was it like, yeah, let's try something different for today, or let's just stick with superheroes? How does that come out into play?
It was actually a blend of all the things you just mentioned. I don't think any company can survive with just one genre or, you know, one approach. So the superhero line is one approach. But if you want to succeed, you need to diversify. So, again, you kick around ideas and you think creatively, and one of the ways to diversify is to go the horror line route.
I don't know if I would totally agree with that, though. I mean, if you think about it, a television station, you know, they have many different shows on a network, and then cable comes along, and then cable decides, okay, we're going to have a kids channel, we're going to have a horror channel, we're going to have this channel, and they're successful in their own right. So, you know, streamlining may be a successful route also.
One word. Twilight. Vampires, if you look at the Twilight saga and what it spawned with True Blood and Vampire Diaries and Lord knows what else that I'm skipping over, I think the horror genre is alive and well and could stand just a little bit more of an infusion.
Well, so how come you wouldn't just like, I'm just going to do all horror books? That's what I was saying about the diversity. Sometimes it actually makes it worse, because then the fans don't know what to expect from the company. Or is that what you're looking for?
The fans. We should put quotation marks over that. The fans. I don't know. I enjoy a horror movie or a horror story every once in a while, and I love superhero stuff, and I'll catch a chick flick and shed a couple of tears. So I'm a fan, and I certainly, all of that appeals to me. So why not somebody else?
Fair enough. So have you thought about having a romance comic involving Phaser somehow?
There is a romance title that is in the works, but it is so top secret that we'd have to pull the plug on the station right now. I just can't talk about it.
All right. Well, the other two guys who were supposed to be calling in, and they haven't called in yet. We're almost out of time. So why don't you just mention what they were going to be working on?
They are working. It is Philip McNulty and Nick Lorifice. Philip is a penciler and an inker, and Nick is doing coloring and lettering for the book. And the title is Blue Sultan. It is a spin-off from Phaser, and we're kind of borrowing a chapter from Marvel history when Marvel had Tales of Suspense and Astonishing Tales, or whatever it was called, a couple of different titles, and they would have two characters in each title. So RZG Comics has a flipbook format. It's been that way since its inception. So now we're going to go a step further with that flipbook format, and we're going to have two full-length stories in every issue. So starting with Phaser Crossover number 2, we have the Phaser Sunburst story that we just talked about, but the flipbook will be the launch of the character Blue Sultan, and that will be a serialized story that will go on through other titles. So the next chapter will be in Phaser number 3, and the following chapter after that will be in another title down the line.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about who Blue Sultan is, and what does he and or she do?
To put it succinctly, the Blue Sultan is a superpowered terrorist. He is a villain, and he is being showcased in his own book.
So why?
Much like Supervillain Team-Up or Suicide Squad or even Thunderbolts, it will be a book that features villains.
Wait a minute. So your main protagonist, for all intents and purposes, is an actual antagonist?
Is out to destroy us all.
And the entire story is from that antagonist's perspective, or like the trials and tribulations of what that character goes through to try to bring about the destruction of the world, or...
That is correct, sir.
Blow up an ice cream shop, or whatever he's had.
Yes, yes!
So he's going to
have... All right. That's pretty unique. I haven't heard about that in quite a while.
We try to be a little different at RZG Comics.
Without giving too much away, what are the nuances of writing from a villain's perspective?
We'll do a whole nother show on the Blue Sultan.
All right.
That was called a sidestep to the answer.
Yeah, it was. It totally was. It was artful.
So we got
The Blue Sultan is one of the characters that I'm pulling from the Phaser novel. And there is a definite story arc involved with this character. In my personal opinion, any good villain, any great villain, has to operate from the premise that they believe that what they're doing is right. That we are all heroes in our own mind. So no matter what this particular person may be doing, they believe that they are doing it for the right reasons. Even though 99.9 of the rest of us are going to look at them and say, you're out of your mind, you're a villain, they're not operating from that perspective. So in his mind, everything he's doing is to save the world. Even though he may have to destroy 3/4 of it before he's done, the end will justify the means.
So we have less than 2 minutes. So final thought, Mariano?
Final thought is support RZG Comics. Check out rzgcomics.com. And check your local comic shops in March for a Phaser Sunburst crossover.
Hassan, final thought?
Hope these are not my final thoughts.
Once again, I appreciate Mariano for calling in this time. I'm really excited about this project. Hopefully my audience, your audience, our fans, our viewers, our listeners will all come together and get this book. I hope they'll enjoy it as much as we did creating it. And that's my final thought. So I appreciate you calling in, Mariano, Hassan. Hopefully you're all right. We'll come back down next week, right?
Yeah.
And that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every Wednesday on WGV at 9 o'clock. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and listen to our archives, which will be up in about a week or so. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.